Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, my God, the Lord, you know, we just finished up a time of prayer and fasting, and we always try to do that at the beginning of the year, just seeking God, you know, humbling ourselves before God. Isaiah 58, where he tells us, and if you haven't yet began, you know, to live, to fast and pray and seek the Lord, realize the Lord's called you to do that. You know, blessed is he who is poor in spirit, for he will inherit the kingdom of God. And that, understand that embracing weakness is so very, 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 very important, because in our weakness, God's power is made perfect. Now, the world and religion has convinced us that we need to have a reputation, and we need to, you know, have a great resume, and we need to be, you know, the right this and the right that. But the Lord says, oh, I can't use you, sorry. All you're going to be able to have is religion, traditions, and your magic tricks and your persuasive words. But if you just would have humbled yourself and embraced weakness, you know, and that's resources, that's your weakness with your heart, weakness with your mind, weakness with your soul, what you think, what you feel, and weakness with your strength. Mm-hmm. And one way to do that, of course, is just obey God, walk in obedience. It's a weakness when your flesh is going left, and God says right, then you just go right. You're saying it doesn't matter. I'm going to offer my body as a living sacrifice. But then it comes a time when Jesus said to fast and pray, and that means doing without. Some people that means to the new gospel is doing without cappuccino or something, but doing without, like you just drink water for a day.
Right.
Skip a meal, skip a day of eating. I don't know, skip 2 days, just drink water. Well, my flesh will cry out. Well, hasn't it been crying out anyway? I remember what just happened last week, you know? Mm-hmm. And he says, if you do this, then your deliverance will just break forth. God will just, when we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he'll lift us up. And I just want to encourage you that you can go kicking and screaming into a fast, but you can't be kicking and screaming while you're in it, because then it's for naught.
Right.
But your flesh is not going to go, oh, I'm just pumped. We're not going to eat for 7 days. Oh, let me line up for that. Not. So you don't even ask it. You don't say, oh, well, flesh, well, body, what do you think? The body's going to go, are you serious? How am I going to survive? And it's like, you've been giving me enough trouble. I don't want to hear from you. Right?
That's all right.
Right. And somehow when you just lay down your life and do without food and you know, drink water, maybe it's a Daniel fast, or maybe, I don't know, a juice fast, but it's just you're pulling yourself away from the distractions of life and you're saying no to your flesh for an extended period of time, that God rewards that. I can't tell you why, but he's really pleased when he smells the denial of ourself.
Pleasing, you know, to him.
Yeah, when we totally understand we're gonna die. And we gotta, you know, also not let anybody know we're gonna die.
Right.
Dun dun. Right. Dun, dun. We're not gonna say anything about that. Dun dun. That's just for somebody's listening. And so that it's just embrace, and God just begins to just pour himself out, and he sets us free, and he does these great things for us, and we're positioning ourselves. We're not earning anything. We're positioning ourselves and weakening and embracing ourselves and laying ourselves down so that God could be good to us and to just share his heart with us and make himself known to us. And so we got on a phone call just this Sunday, and ministers from around America, and we began to share God was saying to us, trying to hear a word. What the Lord was saying is just so many wonderful, wonderful things. And without just being in details and going through it, I mean, think about what the Lord was saying. It was just awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was just powerful. And it was powerful. And I mean, if you had to sum up, you know, what God was saying to you about what's about to happen for in the earth, mm-hmm. for those that are with God and going after God or drawn to God. What are you saying? I mean, what's God saying?
I mean, it's going to be the most amazing, most powerful times that we've ever seen on the face of the earth that's ever been.
Wow.
But at the same time, it's going to be the most horrific times on the face of the earth. You're going to have great darkness, but yet the light is going to be even brighter.
He'll be moving right in the darkness.
Right in the midst of that darkness.
Yeah.
So it's you're going to have both.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, you know, preparing us for it. I mean, he was just like saying, it's coming, get ready, get your heart right.
Right.
You know, clean up the house. It's time to get serious with God.
Right.
And
you don't want to miss what God's about to do.
No.
No.
You don't want to miss what he's about to do. And if you're caught up in some religious mire, it's a good probability you could miss it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in sin, you know, in darkness, you could be deceived. I remember, you know, a powerful move of God. And in the very beginning of the move of God, people that were leading, they were leaders.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as God began to move, they left.
Mm-hmm.
Then they began to write books about, it's like, what? Humble yourself and get back in what God is doing right now. Don't, you know. And they just missed God.
Mm.
They just totally missed God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think was so cool, too, is about God's going to touch everyone.
And it's not going to look like what we may perceive it's going to look like. It's going to look totally different.
Thank God.
You know, it's not going to be what we're used to seeing. Trust me, it's just going to be every walk of life. I don't care what they look like, you know, what race they are, what background they come from. God's going to use everybody.
Every social economic group.
Everyone.
And it's all going to be all together. It's all going to be all together as God's moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be powerful. Experiencing
be awesome.
The power of the kingdom of God, pouring himself out. You know, we talked about that the hope of Christ in you is the hope of glory. And we talked about, you know, releasing the glory of God from within us. But understand, he says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So the glory that we release here on the earth releases God's glory from heaven.
Mm.
So the two glories collide. And you're not going to release a powerful move of God from within you, but when you release the glory of God that's inside of you, the kingdom of God, the power, the anointing of God that's inside of you, and you're with another brother or sister who are doing the same thing, he says, where two or more are gathered in my name, then the glory of heaven just explodes. You know, God was showing me about this the other day, and he meets that. God's glory meets the glory we released, his glory that's in us,
mm-hmm.
and bam!
Mm.
You know, just what you know God's showing us. And when... It's kind of hard to explain if you've never been in the awesomeness of God's. I mean, you may have felt the chill. You may have felt, you know, I get a sign. You know, I feel something. It's like, oh, come on. There's so much more to God. And, you know, you can feel God in your spirit all day long. But when God just pours himself out, your flesh can't even stand. It can't even stand in his presence. And, you know, just throw your mind out the window and just say, you know what? I'm just going to go after God. I'm going to go after God. And one breath of God, one moment in God's presence can fix 25 years of counseling that never worked in your life.
Mm.
Just one moment of God's presence can fix everything. Cancer can't stand in his presence. Sickness can't stand in his presence. Divisiveness and strife can't stand in his presence. Discord can't stand in his presence. Hatred can't stand in his presence. All that, it just can't. It just can't find a place because we were designed to be in his presence. And it's an awesome thing that God is showing us that he's going to do. I mean, he's obviously been talking to us and affirming more about, I mean, Monday night of the, beginning of the 7-day fast,
right.
I get a phone call from Chris, and he says, you got to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a halo. There's like a circle around the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, yeah, circle around the moon. And he's like, this thing is huge. I'm like, you know. So I was doing something at the time, and so I put all that down. and went out to go check it out, and I'm going like, you know, the phone. We're like, oh my goodness, this thing is like 1,000 miles wide. It's clear.
Yeah,
it is. It's like a window mm-hmm. It's like an open window to heaven. It was like, oh my goodness. The people were commenting in the local online newspaper about how it just put a fear in them. Well, it's just look like Chris says, well, like the eye of God.
Like, yeah, it exactly. did. I mean, the yeah, ring looked God. Like the outside of the eye. The moon yeah. looked like his pupil.
And imagine the rest. Imagine the outside of the circle being kind of beginning to haze and mm-hmm. that, but the inside being clear cut and sharp and a huge contrast mm-hmm. and the moon being in the center like the pupil, and then right to the side of the moon, you can see Saturn.
Like a sparkle in his eye.
I guess it's like a sparkle in his eye.
Yeah, the apple of God's eye.
Oh, yeah. And it was, I'm sitting here, like I always said, I'm not going to look up too. So I actually laid down on a 7 foot or 6 foot swing and just laid there on this wood swing, looking up, going, what meanest thou this? Right? And, you know, Chris and I were trying to talk back and forth and trying to figure this out. And all of a sudden, this one, he said, it's like the eye of God. And you imagine, you're standing on the eyelid of God. You're standing on the eyelid of God, and you're smaller than a teardrop.
Yeah.
I just kind of waved at him and go, hey, God. Hey, God. Yeah. It's like, ooh.
Wow.
The eye of the Lord is upon you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The eyes of the Lord go to and fro, looking for a man's heart who's completely dependent upon him. Think about this. And so then... You know, what does this mean? I mean, there's circles around moons that are kind of like, you know, whatever, just a hazy looking thing or whatever. But this thing was just different, you know. And a friend of ours just came by and spoke at the studio, and he said, "Listen, there's like an open heaven here.
Wow,
mm. like an open heaven here." And that's why it literally like you're peeking into heaven,
mm.
or heaven was peeking into you. You just didn't know which one it was. It was
wow.
just a real
like Jacob's ladder.
Yes, it was just like wow. Transparent moment. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, hello. It's like being X-rayed by God. I got any right. bones anywhere? Everything good?
Of course, there was a fog over by my house.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. you live between the cherubim.
Yeah, right.
That's the name. Never mind. So
and a smokestack.
A smokestack. But it's like that was the first night. You know, last year when we sought the Lord, the very last year that we had sought the Lord, the very last day of the 7 day fast, that when I was talking to the leaders, I looked up where the studio is, and I looked up in the sky, and there was an X over the VFN studio.
Mm-hmm.
There was an X over it. In the sky, a perfectly blue sky with an X over it. And God immediately downloaded Ezekiel to me. That, you know, though the storm is coming, that I'll go. He sent angels to put marks on you, mm-hmm. those that are his, so that it won't affect you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 12 months to almost the month day, you know, here we are. We have X's 1 year and we have O's this year.
Mm. Kiss and, them the hugs of God. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hugs and kisses. Yeah, hugs and kisses.
I was thinking tic-tac-toe.
Me too. Obviously, that was a John. I was thinking tic-tac-toe. I was like, my goodness, we got a ways to go before you go. I win. But then, you know, Donna, my wife, sitting here, she says, well, her grandmother used to say that means that a storm is coming. So I go begin to do a little research, and I find out that, and hopefully we'll make this available on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com so you can see what we're talking about. And even the picture that we're showing you is not like it was. I know that Chris tried every technology that we had to kind of grab it, and you couldn't take a picture of this open heaven. It was just like a cloud by day and a fire by night covering this mm-hmm. hole in heaven. You know,
you just have to be there.
You just have to see it. I'm serious because they tried to take it and, you know, and just couldn't see. I mean, it was so big. This is how big it was. I was in Florida, and I pick up the phone, and I call it John in New Jersey. I said, John, go outside, man. Go outside. You got to see this eye, this circle, this halo, whatever was it. And of course, he goes outside. He's in Jersey. He goes, dude, I don't see anything out here. You know, all I see was snow coming down. And so I go look, and do a little research, and it means that a storm is about to come.
Wow.
And that's the perfect. All this, God's like, oh my goodness, Lord, you have warned this generation. You
Another
have warned
one?
Us so much. I mean, the very reason why we're on the air with you right now.
Exactly.
It's for two reasons. One, to warn you and hope you respond, and to help you get back into relation or get into relationship with God and to know his voice. That's why we're here. Mm. We're here to help you. help you. We want this thing to pass and not stay. If he stopped it for Nineveh, sure he would stop it for America if we would turn to him. And I believe he has good plans in store. I believe that this storm, actually he did, this is another thing that he told us during the time of the fast. It was, I believe, through in Denver. I think it was sharing with us that that the storm is coming. Because my concern was the church can't even survive an air conditioning going out. They just canceled church. Okay, when it gets fixed, let us know, and we're not going to give you an offering for it. You know, and my concern was this storm. The church couldn't survive the storm, not the American church. It's Donna's reading right now what Teresa read about the persecuted church, and she's sharing it with me. I'm hoping that maybe her and Teresa will come and share it for our audience. You know, to be able to hear it. But it puts things into huge perspective. But can we go through anything for God? And I'm thinking, Lord, we can't survive this storm. I mean, look at the church. Church not going to survive that. You know, how many people are like, I'm offended. Why? Because you lost your place in line? Because you didn't get a raise? You know, because you didn't get the person elected that you wanted to get elected?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that really? Are you offended? You're walking away from God for that? Listen, there's people in jail right now. There's a man facing a life sentence in Iran just for doing what's right before God with the church in Iran. I mean, I'm thinking, God, we can't survive that. And it was so cool because the word they gave us just shifted my paradigm. That the storm itself is going to prepare the church for the generation that's going to come, that's going to usher in what the Lord's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so the storm itself, the boot camp itself, the difficulty, the struggle that we're going to go through and that we're beginning to go through will prepare us. You know, it'll prepare us. Just like boot camp prepares you for the military to serve on the front lines, that, you know, we're going to go through some stuff, but the stuff we're going to go through is going to prepare us.
Wow.
It's going to prepare us. And I can give you some forewarning in that hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up. Sometimes, most of the time, if people that told you the truth, the difference between success and failure for them was 5 more minutes.
Mm.
They didn't change anything. They didn't do anything. They just stayed faithful to God.
Mm-hmm.
They just stayed faithful to God. They were going to quit 5 minutes ago. And to their chagrin and to their own surprise, God just showed himself.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do? I just hung around 5 more minutes. You know, just stay faithful to God.
Mm-hmm.
And understand this, that if you are faithful to God, I mean, you're light. You're the light of the world. And right now, it may seem like not many people are seeing your light, but as it gets darker, you're not going to get lighter, but your light's going to be more obvious. And people are going to come to that light. They're going to come to Christ in you. Christ in you is going to draw them to you so you can tell them about him. I mean, that's what's coming. And so he told us, he gave us perspective of the storm. And we've talked about, is America under judgment? You know, America, Islam, Christianity, and Israel, a state of the nation, and these different things that God was telling us. And the storm that we're talking about and that others are talking about, it's a storm to prepare the church who's going to be victorious. That's very encouraging. You know, when you read Isaiah 58, if you haven't yet read Isaiah 58, if you haven't read Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is talking to us on the Sermon on the Mount, to pray and to fast and to seek him, that you'll be encouraged to understand that it's just not a logical thing. This is not about our minds. This is about obedient type thing. It's a longing for, and it is a way that we can hasten our Lord's return, because we are the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom. Father God's going to present us to his son at the wedding banquet as his bride. And so, and Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back, but when the Father sees us longing and fasting and praying for him, that maybe this will be the hastening of his coming. Maybe the Father says, now.
Yeah.
Now. And until then, we're winning as many as we can, you know, to him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that what we're seeing is that there's going to be an outpouring, a blessing coming to the, and it's like, you know, was the $1 million for you, or was the $1 million for what you could do for God with it? So
right.
I see just a huge outpouring for the lost and for the captive church. And for the heretical bound Christians who'd have been taught heresies that are just, you know, crazy stuff. and traditions of men that have held them captive and made God's word of none effect, those guys. And they're just going to fall in love with God. Wow. They're going to go, oh, this religion. I've been religious now for 10 years, and it's been like toting water. And God's just going to rock your world. He's going to just, you're going to fall so in love with him. And I just want to encourage you. Yeah, you know, it's going to be the worst of times and the best of times. And it's going to take a rough time for people to look up. Sometimes it just takes a difficult time. You got to be on your back sometimes before you'll look up. You know, I remember as a deputy that, you know, sometimes, you know, you're walking around, you're the one in authority, and you can be overly confident, or you can just be taking things for granted and not putting things into perspective that, you know, you're carrying this authority around, so you got to be real careful with it. But all of a sudden, you end up in a fight where, you know, somebody starts fighting you, and you're fighting for your life. And, you know, the suspect just starts, you know, whatever, doing crazy things. And you're literally fighting to keep your gun on your side. You're fighting to get your radio to say, help, signal 36. You always say, signal 30. So that's it. If you don't say the sixth part, they won't know that you're in trouble. And that means everybody run and come to you. And you're just fighting for your life. And you get through that, and you cuff them up. Believe it or not, there was a day I could do that. And now I just have to hit you with a stick. Sorry, I couldn't wrestle you anymore. I just got to use wisdom now instead of strength. And it's more powerful than strength. That and you finish all that, and you're sitting back, and you're relaxing, and you're just kind of regaining your composure. And sometimes you got so much adrenaline that's going in your body begins to vibrate. It's just adrenaline just surging. Your body just automatically releases this adrenaline. And this, your whole thing just shakes, and it's not a fear thing. It's just like your body just in fight or flight. It just dumps those adrenalines down, and it's amazing how you can get strength you didn't know you had. Ah, I miss those days. And then I know all the strength I have is over there, that little small pile. Anyway, and in that, you're thinking, man, life's just so good. Look how nice the night is. Look how nice the day is. Oh, the birds and I like my job. This is a nice car. This is a nice sandwich. And it's like when you go through a time of fighting for your life, when you go for a time of struggle, and you go through a time of it could have been over. I was at the end of myself. I didn't think I was going to come out. That when you come out of that, it's just like spring.
Yeah.
Like coming out of a hard winter and then coming into spring, and just everybody loves spring because everything's starting to come up again. It's like a fresh wind blowing. When you fast and you pray that you enter into it, it may feel like you're struggling and you're like that police officer is fighting for his life, but the Lord says, lay it down. Just lay your life down. Just literally lay it down.
Yeah.
Don't win this one. Don't win this one. Just lay it down. And when you do, when you pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow the Lord, just this refreshing comes over you. And then all of a sudden, I know I had problems 7 days ago, but I can't remember what they were. Excuse me. I'm totally fine. This is the best burger I've had in my life. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Welcome to McDonald's. No, I'm joking. But you know, it's just like everything's good. Hey, how are you doing, Mr. Walker Man down the street? And it's just amazing. You know, and the thing is, imagine if the church began to be willing to go through those struggles of dying to our flesh and to say, you know, I want to live a life of fasted lifestyle. I want to be weak before you, God. I want to be, yes, your power is made perfect in my weakness, but you know, I want to live that life where everything's beautiful, that puts things into perspective. And if we don't fast, you know, God has no problem allowing us to go through times we have to fight for our life. And we come out of that, and guess what? We feel pretty much the same way I come out of a fast than an officer does when he comes out of a fight. It feels pretty much the very same way. It's like a release. It's like no worries, no troubles. Everything's fine. And we can voluntarily embrace that. We can voluntarily. And that's the whole thing about being a Christian, is that we offer. He says, brothers, he says, listen, in view of God's mercies, offer your body as a living sacrifice. And that word in the Greek means victim. It means embracing weakness. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Holy, separate yourself from those things that are unholy. Holy and pleasing to the Lord. For this is your spiritual act of worship. Do you want to worship God? You know, begin to think, you know what? I want to live in 2013. I want to live a prayer and fasted lifestyle. Whatever you're, listen, now's the time. Today's the day. Don't, there is no witnesses or suspects in heaven. Come on, quit using other people as the reason why you're not following God. You know, obeying God. Just all by yourself. Maybe you're like, you know, Charles Seymour in Azusa Street. It's about to come out of your life because you said, you know what? Nobody else is, but I'm going to.
That's right.
You're not going to complain because you got one eye. You're not going to complain because you've been rejected. You're not going to complain because people have treated you badly because of your race. You're not going to complain because all you could afford was one room. You're not going to complain because people didn't want God to move. You're going to say, I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. And one man so desperate to see God move. Azusa Street is in the history books today. Ministries launched all around the United States, which progressed all the way through Amy Sybil McPherson and all the way where you have Oral Roberts and things that just unfolded over the years. Catherine Kuhlman and what is the man today? Benny Hinn. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all generational connections there in the context of all that. Maybe that's you, you know. You know, maybe that stream of what God's going to do is going to be in your obedience and your willingness to lay down your life. And what he showed us is that it's going to be a great harvest. And you have to prepare yourself for the harvest. During this time of prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord showed us a great harvest. And understand, a harvest, for example, you know, we had a chance to go to Johnny Foote's pond up in the country and his little small ranch. And I'm fishing there with Jared and Amber, and there's catfish in it,
mm-hmm.
and some other things, but obviously the catfish. And, I mean, it's like fishing in a barrel. I mean, there was just fish everywhere. And so it's just fun catching a fish. And so, you know, I'm throwing in my hook, and I'm snatching out a huge catfish, and Jared's throwing in his hook, catching one, and mm-hmm. snatching it, throwing up on the beach, and then you know, Amber throws hers out there and catches one. We're like, well, this is great. This is great. And all of a sudden, it's like, stop. 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 And they're like, what? It's like, we got to clean these things.
Yeah.
Right.
There is something to do in the harvest. You can't just keep throwing people up on the beach saying they may said a prayer. You're going to have to now raise them. You're going to have to begin to pour your life out for them and share your experiences and teach them to be disciples, and teach them to hear the voice of the Lord and empower them. He said, go into all the world and tell them about me. Preach to the kingdom of God, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then teach them to be my disciples. Teach them to obey everything I commanded you. Well, I don't obey anything you commanded me. Why should I teach them? It's like, no, well, we need to start obeying what God's mm-hmm. called us to do. And so we can't just keep throwing fish on the beach and think that, you know, we're not going to have to do it. It's just going to be dead, and the animals are going to come and take it. We can't call that a harvest. And so we have to prepare for this harvest. And when you Proverbs, when you hear wisdom, what God says about those who sleep during the harvest, those who say, oh, it's just too hard. And it's like when the harvest comes, when you think about a natural corn harvest or a wheat harvest, I mean, you got to go out there, grape harvest. I mean, you got to do it at the time it's done. I mean, you can't just like, let's just wait till like another month. It's like, no, you have to do it in the time of the harvest. You got to harvest it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you throw it up on the beach, once you put it in your basket, once you put it into your barns, there's stuff you have to do to it. You know, and we as believers, we relate to our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk to them. We love them. God says, I'm not unjust. I will not forget the love you have shown me as you help my people and continue to help them. Mm-hmm. You help them with a strategy to have a productive life. You introduce them to the voice of God. You encourage them to follow God. You begin to share your life stories and your testimony to them, realizing that because they look at you and thinking, oh, how did you get here? And they say, well, you know, grace of God. And you tell them all the things in your life, how God brought it through because you overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You need to be there for the harvest. There needs to be many, many workers. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send out workers. And that's what we've been doing. We've been laboring and laboring. God has shown me the harvest. He's shown others the harvest as well. It's a big harvest. It's just a big, huge harvest of just all of mankind coming into the kingdom of God. And with that comes responsibility. It becomes responsibility. We have to prepare ourselves. I mean, we've been digging trenches. We've been laying foundation. We've been establishing things. Things that God has been telling us. Why? So that people can move quickly into immaturity, to maturity, to be trained up, discipled, and launched into their destiny. Because everything healthy reproduces after itself. Listen, half the church of the world is totally different than most of what the American church looks like. But the power of God is moving powerfully. That they why? Because they understand that God, it's the Great Commission is not a great suggestion. They understand, listen, I got to hear what you got to say. I got to understand how this works. I got to understand what God's saying, because I got to tell people about him. This one particular Chinese couple, that they find God, and he says, oh my goodness, take care of the kids. You're going to need a job, because I've got to go tell people about him. And she didn't see him, I don't know if it was a month or a year or something. But he went out and began to just win people from village to village to village to village, church plant after church plant after church plant. And they both were excited about the celebration of what God had called them to do. Listen, the kingdom of God is like a man who found a pearl of great price. And when he found, this is the true kingdom. When you find the true kingdom, the kingdom of God, he said he put it there. He went back and took all of his money and he bought that particular pearl of great value. It's like a man who was looking in the field and found a great treasure. He goes back and takes everything. It costs you everything, though it's free. He takes everything he has and he just throws it right in. He says, listen, I want the whole field. I don't want just the treasure was on there. I want anything that even touched the treasure. Everything about God I want. Listen, this is what God says. He says, if in fact you say my disciple, you're my disciple, and you don't give up everything, you can have no part of me. I'm sorry. You know, that is the context of what you should have been hearing if you've never heard that. He said, listen, a person who's going to make war will count the cost. A person who's going to build a building will count the cost. He wants to make sure he can complete this thing. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at what God is saying, you measure the cost. You say, what is it going to cost me? Everything. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. He's going to give you more than enough. He's going to give you more than enough. So I'm going to encourage you, you know, prepare yourself. Begin to prepare yourself. I had the privilege of being a part of an awesome outpouring at Brownsville Assembly of God on Father's Day of 1995 that was, you know, awesomely shepherded and led by, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, and the evangelist there was Steve Hill. And it just was just overwhelmingly, you know, we weren't prepared for a lot of things, but it's just amazing. We just began to get busy and work and prepare and do and just all these different things that came out of that. You know, because we wanted, maybe God will move one more week. Maybe he'll move another week. Maybe, yeah. Oh, this is a month. Maybe we can ask for a month. Maybe he can ask for a year. And just, you know, thousands begin to come. But the first thing God began to do is to prepare us and to heal us, because we were all wounded and had all these issues and stuff. And he just loved on us for quite a period of time. But listen, this next move of God, I believe it's going to be it's going to hit. And you're not going to have 8 months or 6 months to prepare. You're not going to be able to quarantine yourself, especially with today's technology, and say there's a private move of God going on. I mean, you're going to have to, it's just going to be out. I mean, you sneeze and it's on 15 people's Facebook. I mean, when God begins to move in this next, because of technology and because of the ability to communicate, I mean, think about it. Azusa Street stopped when the secretary ran off with the mailing list. Wow. When communication was broke down. You could wish to break down communication today, but you can't break down a communication.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So what looks like a negative thing with a billion people being able to say whatever they want to say, listen, that's great, because the good news will spread just as good as the bad news.
That's right.
And one way to prepare, think about this, and that's what we've been positioning ourselves for. That's why we're talking to you on VFN Radio, to be that or a voice of light and hope and direction and encouragement about you know, that we're in a ship, and the ship is a powerful move of God, and it's going all over the place, and we're going to tell you, hold on, don't get off. This is God. Stay there. You know, disciple, pour your life out. This is not going to last forever. We don't know how long this is going to last. You know, prepare this next generation. Lay down your life. Lay down your life. Lay down your life. And God will just transform this world. And he could give us back America.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.